Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day radio show, weekday mornings, 8 to 9 here on The Fan. And, of course, his Pack-A-Day podcast as well. Updating the Brewers game. Jackson Cherry, who got hit earlier in the game in the fingers, and we weren't sure how bad it was. He just hit a solo homer to tie it at 1 with the Marlins at American Family Field. Mr. Herman, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Just got that update as well. Was excited about that. 1-1 ball game now. So, yeah, hopefully Brewers can pull out a win. We get a fight. He's getting the home run derby. Was it before or after the game?
After the game. And it's on FanDuel, so you can still watch it.
Getting started early. So love that for Churio.
I'm telling you, I recorded this game and like an hour or 2 hours after this game to make sure I recorded that home run derby after the game so I can watch it when I get a chance later tonight. I was joking earlier, Andy Herman, about you, and I was wondering whether or not you had your pom-poms and your cheerleading outfit on for Dontayvion Wicks, and did you shave your legs before practice or not? Because, man, you were excited about Dontayvion Wicks on Twitter today.
I am always excited about Dontayvion Wicks, and usually on Twitter, if not on the podcast as well. Like I said, I will never sell my stock. It's going to be, you know, 2040. He's going to be trying out for a UFL team, and I'm just going to say, you know, if you can just catch the ball this year, Dontayvion Wicks might be something for someone. I really like Wicks. You know, I think the thing that is fantastic that I think goes really unnoticed with him is he is such a tenacious blocker on the outside. I think he's actually the Packers' best blocking wide receiver, which is why he continues to get opportunities. His route running is phenomenal. He knows how to get open. And of course, yes, the hands have been an issue, and it's a very important aspect of playing wide receiver in the NFL is the ability to catch the ball. He today had a 50-yard bomb in a two-minute drill from Jordan Love. Once again, did a great job of separating, easily brought in the pass. At that point, he had caught everything his way the entirety of training camp. Of course, I might have jinxed him a little bit. He did have one hit him in the hands a little bit after that. But I will say Nate Hobbs was there a little too physical. Matt LaFleur talked to Nate Hobbs after that play. Might have been slightly early as well. So I'm willing to give Wicks a little bit of accident forgiveness on that one. But he's been fantastic so far and had a really big play today.
Let's talk about Nate Hobbs because when they got him and they brought him in as a free agent, you talk to people in Vegas and it's like, he's a slot corner. He's probably not going to be a boundary corner. Okay, fine. So now he gets here. And if he's a slot corner, if that's what's going to happen, what does that mean for a guy like Javon Bullard? Because that was his role last year. And when we saw him at safety last year, that didn't go so well. So I'm just curious to see how this is all going to play out.
Yeah, so first of all, I'll say Javon Bullard's had a really nice start to camp. He punched out a ball today from Tucker Kraft, and Kraft put the ball on the ground in that situation, but he's had a really nice start. But my expectation, and this was going in, and we've kind of seen this play out in training camp so far, they have two different nickel defenses. They've got kind of what I consider their base or their big nickel, and then they've got kind of more of their passing situation nickel. In their big nickel, in more early downs, it is Javon Bullard in the slot with Hobbs and Nixon on the outside, but then, of course, Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams at safety.
Right.
In the more obvious passing down nickel, it is same thing, Williams and McKinney on the back end. You now have Nixon as one of the outside corners with Valentine as an outside corner, and then Hobbs kicks into the slot. And I think, number one, that versatility for Nate Hobbs is fantastic. The fact that he can do either is really impressive. He's looked really good as an outside corner. I could not have expected anything more from him so far. He is tenacious. He is scrappy. He brings a great energy. He's communicative. It's early. Nobody's crowning anyone for any reason at this point in time, 3 days into training camp. But man, does he look the part so far. And I think Packers fans are going to really enjoy watching him play.
I want to go back to the wide receiver room, if you don't mind, Andy Herman. And I want to ask you a question, something that's been brought up twice now on this show in the last couple of days. I give you a top five list, 1 through 5. Rank the top five wide receivers in that room based on the most talented wide receivers in that room. How would you rank the top five most talented receivers in that Packers wide receiver room?
Are we adding Christian Watson in this?
Yes.
Okay. Watson, Savion Williams.
Woo! Savion Williams too?
Yeah, he's like... there's a battle with Watson. Like,
really?
If you told me every single wide receiver in this room met their ceiling, Savion Williams, I think, is probably the best wide receiver.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Now, I think the percentage odds of him actually doing that are, you know, whatever. I don't want to necessarily put anything down in the Potawatomi sports book on that. But I think what some of the stuff that I saw earlier in his career, the first couple of years, at TCU as a true wide receiver. It is phenomenal. It is so unbelievably fun. Of all the things, of all the tape studies, of everything that I did this entire offseason, probably my favorite was Savion Williams from his, you know, couple years prior to this year where they started using him more as a wildcat guy. Now, again, hands have to come along. Nuanced route running has to come along. But you talk about a, what is he, 6'3", and just unbelievably fast, goes up and makes plays. I honestly, I'm still going to put Watson one, but I would have no issue with putting Savion Williams number one on that list. So I'm going to go Watson one, Savion Williams two, Golden three, Wicks and Reed tied for four,
yep,
and I guess four or five, and then I'll go Dobbs as the one after that.
Great. Yep, I agree. Yeah. I did not have Savion Williams in mine. I had Dobbs five. Yep. I didn't have Savion Williams even in my top five. I haven't seen him, obviously, all that much. So you putting him there, woo-wee.
And again, I would almost say that going into this season, it would not stun me if, like, let's say Mecole Hardman makes the receiver at number six, right? Let's say he gets that number six wide receiver spot as the primary punt returner. It would not surprise me at all if we saw Savion Williams inactive for games and Mecole Hardman as your fifth wide receiver because he's going to be your punt returner.
Right.
And a good chunk of this season be almost like a redshirt season for Savion Williams. So again, I'm talking obviously potential here. I'm not saying what I expect this year, even maybe in the next couple years. But again, if you told me every receiver in this room hit their highest potential, to me, Savion's probably number one on that list.
Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Radio Show, weekday mornings, 8 to 9 here on The Fan. Of course, Pack-A-Day Podcast each and every day. Download both of them, or if you download your favorite podcast at, follow him on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Of course, follow him on Blue Sky as well. This is something that I'm curious to see your take. And I don't think you're actually going to do this, but this whole thing about LaFleur, well, I didn't even know that guy was out there when you asked him about the offensive lineman back in minicamps OTAs. Not a big deal. Downplaying the whole Bo Melton thing as well when they line him up at corner, right? I don't read too much into it, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. And now here we are, and he's playing corner mainly is where we are now with Bo Melton. If he ever says that to you again, I would be like, Bo Melton. Like, don't start with me. Everything that you do in OTAs and minicamp is done with a purpose for a reason. They're not just kind of randomly doing stuff just because. Like, that was ridiculous when he gave you that answer on the offensive lineman. Equally ridiculous that they were playing it down. Charlie was playing it down on this show to me that I was overreacting to Bo Melton being at corner to try and make this roster. Now here he is again in that space. And you tell me how he's looked so far.
Yeah, so I want to go back. So the question that I asked Matt, so Donovan Jennings was started with the ones on the offensive line. And I even sort of prefaced the question of like, I know we're not supposed to read much into this, but, you know, what have you seen from Donovan Jennings so far? And, you know, kind of getting that look with the ones today. And he's like, I didn't even know that Donovan Jennings was out with the one. Which, okay, sure. Like, there is a part of me that potentially believes that that was a, you know, Luke Butkus call, or that was an Adam Stenovich call.
Sure.
Like they're like, but again, it's not like JJ Lippy could have gone over there with buns and be like, guys, I got this one exactly today. Like, it's not like Jennings just made that decision on his own of like, don't worry guys, I'm going to take this spot. So somebody made that determination. Yep. It's interesting in and of itself. So whatever, the answer is fine. I don't really care. It's interesting if he legitimately didn't notice. I also am respectful and understanding of the fact that sometimes, specifically general managers, but sometimes head coaches need to lie to us as well. It is part of the job description. So I can play the game. I can understand the game. It's all good. The Melton thing's interesting. It did definitely seem during OTAs and mini camps that this was he's a wide receiver, but we're trying him at corner. And it really looked that way because it almost felt like it was something that came together very quickly because he's still wearing number 80. More importantly, the wide receiver, he's wearing the offense's colors to the point where when he went over on the defensive side, they didn't even have a green penny waiting for him to, like, it took like half the practice to get him a penny so that they actually had an 11th green player on defense and not 12. So I do think that this took a little bit of time. And I do think that initial mini camp was more of like, let's just look at this. We're going to keep him at wide receiver, but let's just see what this looks like. And then I think once they got the glimpse of it, they're like, we're in. We're going to do this full bore ahead. And then that's when Goody really said it even before the start.
Andy, you just went over six receivers and then Mecole Hardman. There was no chance he was making this receiver room even before they saw that.
So, and I think this is the impetus for moving him to the defensive back room. You can tell they like are glowing about Bo Melton anytime they talk about him. Yep. There was that mini camp practice. He was with the first team on kick return, punt coverage, kick coverage. There are very few people in the NFL that have the ability to be on the first team for all four of those units. And so I think they do legitimately see of like, all right, we would really like to find a way for this guy to make our team so we can get him out there as kind of a special teams ace. And now it's like, is the best opportunity. I mean, if you look at the depth charts, to your point at wide receiver, trying to make the number 4, 5, 6 wide receiver is absolutely brutal. The number 4 corner spot, if you have a cornerback next to your name, I don't care if you're Isaiah Dunn, Tyron Herring, I don't care if you're anyone. If that number 4 corner spot should be up for grabs for anyone that wants to go and take it. That Micah Robinson, Kalen King, Kamal Haddon, none of those guys have, you know, claim to that spot at this point. I think Haddon's the leader in the clubhouse, but anyone that has a cornerback next to their name can go out and earn that. So I think he's going to have an opportunity there if he shows that he can be the number 6 corner plus an ace on special teams plus give you an emergency wide receiver. That's his opportunity to make the team.
Andy Herman, any other highlights from today's practice we should know about?
Yeah, the defense was swarming. Of course, we talked about the Dontavian Wicks 50-yard bomb. That was awesome. Carrington Valentine had another interception. The 2-minute drills were once again pretty dominated by the defense.
Yep.
So they the first couple were won by the defense easily. Then Sean Clifford actually had a nice drive, got him into field goal range, and then it almost felt like the offense was frustrated to the fact of like, we want one more shot at this, because I've never seen them do this. They gave the number ones another chance after they all went through. Maybe that was scripted to be the case, but I've never seen them do it that way. I almost wonder if the ones were like, give it, we want another shot at this. Like, we're going down there and scoring. And then of course they hit the bomb to Dontavian Wicks. But this secondary is flying around. We talked about Nate Hobbs and what he's been able to do so far. And then I'll just end with this. Brandon McManus, 15 of 15 so far. Yep. I mean, including multiple 50-yarders. Like, the juxtaposition of where we were at with this a year ago at this time to now is a night and day difference. And I was talking to Marcus Eversole along the sidelines. The best kicker, and we can talk to Mason about this at some time. He'll obviously have a huge insight into this, but I've watched it with Mason. I've seen it now. The best kickers to me are the ones where it doesn't even look like they're trying to kick the ball. And Brandon McManus right now, it's just going up. It is the cleanest, smoothest. Like, it looks like the ball is going to go like 5-10 yards off of his foot, and then it just explodes. There's no like, there's not a ton of movement, or it doesn't even look like he's exerting effort, and that thing just explodes and goes right down the middle of the uprights. He's in his zone right now.
Did they sing him happy birthday after practice?
I don't know if they did. I do know it was his birthday today. Yeah. I think it's one of the young players. Maybe it's McDuffie or Simmons, I think, tomorrow. But yeah, there's another one tomorrow too. But no birthday wishes that I saw.
That's easy to remember. Christmas in July for a McManus every year. That's real simple to remember. How good is Isaiah Simmons look?
He looks fantastic. And, you know, again, it's very early on. The speed is evident. You can tell there's a reason why this guy was a top 10 draft pick in the NFL. He's still very young. There's still an opportunity for him to break out. We've seen this before. You know, Devondre Campbell has had a very similar sort of situation, except Simmons was drafted even higher than what Campbell was, as I believe a fourth rounder. So, you know, if they can find something there, I mean, the words have been glowing from his teammates. Xavier McKinney said that he's going to have a major role in the defense. Josh Jacobs called him a unicorn. And I think Simmons said he hasn't even been playing his fastest yet, that he's still kind of getting everything down. So I'm intrigued. I'm interested. I will say the idea of him has been certainly better than what we've seen on tape and defense the past couple of years. But man, if they can find something and get the most out of him, which Jeff Hafley is certainly apt to do, I'm intrigued to say the least at what he can bring to this team.
What can people expect on the Pack a Day podcast this weekend?
Yeah, just a full recap of today's practice on tomorrow's show. We'll kind of probably do just a broader look at what's happened through the first week so far. And then, of course, just everything training camp. And, of course, we're covering the team 365. So check it out over Pack-A-Day Podcast on YouTube or wherever you get your favorite podcast.
And Pack-A-Day Radio gets right back after it again coming up on Monday from 8 to 9 here on The Fan. Of course, stream all of our local shows on YouTube now. At The Fan Milwaukee. Use that at symbol at The Fan Milwaukee. And of course, all of our podcasts available wherever you download your favorite podcast. At Andy Herman, have a good weekend. Thank you, sir.
You too, man. Appreciate it.